How long have you been the chairman of Thrive now?
Just since January 1st, apparently.
What are your goals for that, for the group?
Well, I think this year is about execution. We've got a lot of kind of the infrastructure type work done, and we're, I think, kind of dressed up and ready to go here. So this is about trying to get some things done.
Can you give me some specifics of things you'd like to do?
Oh, sure. We have focused on these target sectors, which are healthcare, biotech, and agriculture. And then some technologies that kind of inform those. That's IT and nanotechnology. And we have hired some sector specialists in biotech, healthcare, and agriculture. And they'll be the kind of the focus of a lot of the programmatic work. And Jennifer has a Jennifer Alexander here has a an executive director of Thrive that reports to her, and then these specialists report to him, to Rafael Carbonell. And so a lot of the programmatic work that goes on will be through that that structure.
I saw that Dane County has a has an unemployment rate of, I think, 3% or 3.1%. So to use the word, it looks like the county is thriving. Is Thrive about Dane County or about the other seven counties more? Who benefits more from Thrive?
Well, no, it's certainly about the region, and the region, as we've described it, is Dane and the seven contiguous counties. Certainly, a lot of kind of the intellectual horsepower for that we're trying to leverage throughout the region comes from Dane County, but certainly Dane County is not the only thing that we're focusing on. I mean, we are fundamental of what we're doing is trying to take a regional approach, and with the understanding that that we have certain assets within the region that we're trying to leverage across the region. So those assets, many of those intellectual assets may come from the university or the state government or something like that, which are located within Dane County, but we're trying to leverage those more broadly across the region.
What was the impetus for Thrive?
Well, maybe, you know, as far as the history goes, I'd pass that off to Jennifer a little bit here. Maybe you could give a little bit better history of it than I could.
It just was a number of regional leaders coming together and recognizing that a couple of things. One, that we're functioning in a global economy, so the old way of doing business of Fitchburg competing with Sun Prairie wasn't the way to go. So the recognition of a global economy, and then the second was just the dramatic growth that Dane County was experiencing at that time, for that matter, the whole region. It started out much more Dane County focused, but has now grown to the eight-county region. So a number of leaders saw that those changing factors were coming into play, and a lot of these kinds of things emerge from crisis. You know, a plant closes down, unemployment rates are soaring. This was much more out of a looking ahead and saying, let's not look to wait for a crisis. Let's anticipate with those factors changing, what do we do to be prepared?
And how many years did it take for Thrive to come together?
It started in about 2004. Some of the early discussions, in fact, the very first discussion took place in Tom Still's office when he was still over at the chamber. So a number of folks sat down and said, we've got a lot of good things happening. A lot of people focused on economic development and quality of life and a lot of organizations, but what's missing is focus. And that's how the Collaboration Council emerged. Groups of larger group of leaders, regional leaders, came to the table, and then it evolved to include a broader county territory.
And the name has just been Thrive for... switched from Reedy a month or two ago?
It was announced in December at the Collaboration Council meeting in December.
How do you like the name Thrive?
No, I like it. No, I think it really is very representative of you know, it's a name that where the brand itself kind of incorporates the benefit. Obviously, if we do our job, then the region will thrive, and that's kind of what it's all about. So I think it's clever in that respect, and has a kind of a freshness to it that I think is good.
And it allows co-branding as well. So you can have Sauk County, it could be Eagles Thrive, and it could be Sauk County. So you could have a variety of different organizations all use the philanthropy Thrives, Madison Community Foundation. You know, a number of organizations can co-brand, which allows a small budget organization to get much more visibility that way.
There are other regional groups. I think the New North and the Milwaukee 7 are doing similar things. Is this a trend of the, is it going on in other states too, or are you familiar with any other efforts like this?
No, it certainly is going on in other states. I mean, I think the notion of how best to compete is certainly something that that's a popular notion these days, and people are looking at it beyond just their local communities, whether it's at a regional level and or a state level. It's certainly something that has taken hold here in this state. We try to bring various regional economic development entities together at the governor's business council level so that we can kind of hopefully rationalize activities across them at that level, and so that everybody's not out doing something different and kind of balkanizing the economic development efforts of the state.
Can you talk a little bit about your company? If I remember correctly, C56?
Yes, that's correct. Uh-huh. We're an early stage biotech company, and we are engaged in developing new enzyme groups for the development of biofuels. And we have enzymes that will improve the productivity of the current corn ethanol process by about 10%. We have others that will convert the carbohydrate portion of soy into ethanol for the first time. And then we're also working on this cellulosic conversion to ethanol as well. In fact, we're the commercial enzyme partner with the university on this Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center that the university just got this very large DOE grant for last summer.
How long have you been here in Madison?
In Madison? This is my second tour of duty, so to speak, here in Madison. I came back to Madison in 1981. Was here through 1993. In 1993, I helped start a healthcare information systems company, and when we got that funded, the venture people moved us to Atlanta, and I was in Atlanta for about 6 years, and once we sold that company, I wanted to come back here, so I came back here in 2001.
For the weather?
For the weather, exactly. That's why I'm here in blue jeans today.
Yeah. You actually live, though, on a farm outside of Dane County.
Yes, I do. I live out by Mineral Point. I live on a farm out by Mineral Point.
Do you grow corn or soybeans? Or?
I have had both corn and soybeans growing in my land. I crop out 60 acres of my land historically to a neighbor who grew traditional crops, and our project is not traditional crops. But,
is that a family farm? Or
No. It's just my wife and I wanted to have a farm, so when we came back here, we bought a farm. And,
Did you see, when you were here before, the need for something like Thrive?
Yes. When I was here before, I was with primarily with a large company. I was with Omida here in town, and I traveled all over the world and with my positions there. And one of the things that I really missed was the community involvement when I was with Omida. So I was really pleased to have an opportunity to get involved with Thrive and initially with the Collaboration Council when I came back here. So when I was here previously, I guess the short answer is that my real focus was not so community oriented, and so the need for a Thrive was probably not as much on my radar screen at that point in time as it has been since I've come back.
This area is doing pretty well compared to the rest of the state. Does it face, in your opinion, any special challenges?
Well, I think that the challenge here right now is that we do generate an amazing amount of intellectual capital here in this region, and we have some incredible assets other than just our intellectual capital. Our geographic assets, our rural assets are exceptional as well. And so I think the thing that Thrive is most engaged with is in how can we best leverage all of those assets, you know, the intellectual capital as well as the geographic and lifestyle assets that we have here in the region, to not only further economic development but to provide the quality of life that we have all come to enjoy and expect from this region. And, and I think that's the real challenge of kind of the two-pronged effort to do economic development, but do it in the context of quality of life.
Has Thrive taken a position on, or will it, on transportation or mass transit or things like that?
Yes, we've reserved the right to certainly take a position on regional transportation issues. What we've been doing is kind of convening the stakeholders in, on that issue in particular. And indeed, here just this week, we've had quite a, I don't know, breakthrough is the right word, but we had the third meeting of all of the key stakeholders regarding regional transportation in order to try to kind of move them all forward together to the next step and looking at the regional transportation issues. And I think we had some kind of breakthrough events here earlier in the week when we had that meeting. So we see, first of all, our job to be to go out and look across the region and bring together the stakeholders to further that conversation. We certainly always reserve the right to take a position, but in regard to the regional transportation issue, our key goal here was to kind of get the key stakeholders to talk to each other and work together, and that's something that I think we've been able to facilitate.
Do you have a sense of what direction stakeholders will go?
Not necessarily. Jennifer has been involved with those stakeholders much more intimately than I have. Maybe you could fill that blank in a little bit.
Thrive was the convener, mm-hmm. So we were the neutral party that brought the elected officials together. And what they determined at the last meeting that they had was that rather than create another group to study where we should take transportation, that what it would make sense to do was to fill out the composition of the subcommittee of Transport 2020, the governance one, that Mike Blaska and Dick Wagner currently chair. So what this group of elected officials did was they agreed that that would make the most sense. And now they're submitting names, and they'll make recommendations. And the county chair, Scott McDonald, agreed that that was a good idea and that he would indeed make sure that those folks are appointed. So it was, I think, a perfect example of a region collaborating over issues that can't be solved within one jurisdictional boundary. Mm-hmm. The real key issues that we're faced with in terms of challenges can't be solved with the way we're organized governmentally. Mm-hmm. And those folks came together and said, okay, what should we do? In fact, we had a person there from Sauk County sat in with a group. And one of the things that came out of their discussion was that it would make sense to have someone from another county to be there, though it's a Dane County decision, mm-hmm. to inform the perspective. For example, Columbia County has a high, they have a high commuting pattern into Dane County.
Sometimes the Madison area, greater Madison area, is compared to Austin in Texas. But when you mention that to some people, they say that's an example of where sprawl has taken over. Is that one of to prevent that sort of sprawl? Is that one of the things that Thrive would work on to protect the quality of life here?
Well, certainly sprawl is on the agenda. There's no question about it, and is certainly in the center of any quality of life debate. We're not here to prevent development in a general sense, but I think that there is a bringing of reasonable voices to the table that we're able to do that I think brings a higher level to the debate than just any particular development issue might. And I think we can certainly help facilitate that and certainly intend to as we go forward. you know, there's no question that sprawl is a key issue when it comes to quality of life issues. So I'm certain that an awful lot of the issues that we come in contact with as we go forward will have various impacts on that. And
it's hard to separate out land use and water issues when you're dealing with agriculture and the issues that we're dealing with.
Yeah, I guess one person's sprawl is another person's economic development.
Exactly, right. It's
How long will your tenure as chairman be?
Just a year, just through December of this year.
Are there any issues that we haven't talked about that you'd like to mention, things that you'll be doing or that Thrive will be doing?
Well, I think that we're certainly very focused on these key sectors that we've chosen, and to really start focusing on some programmatic work in those areas. I think beyond that, we're really looking at trying to raise the level of this regional discussion, trying to be involved with the economic development leaders in the various counties and various municipalities and so forth, to try to just be engaged with them so we can kind of help sort through some of these discussions and bring them up to a little bit of a higher level. Those are certainly some key things that we're up to. I think getting this Thrive brand out there a little bit doesn't hurt either. It's I've been pleasantly surprised at how many people are aware of it already, and you know, catch me at different things and ask me about it and so forth. And so that's been interesting as well. But
one point that maybe I think is important to understand. This work was all the approach that we're taking, which is the sector-based approach based on what our assets are, is one that's a long-range or a long-term sort of approach. It's not a reactionary crisis model. Mm-hmm. So usually when that happens, it's shotgun recruitment. Businesses, let's go find businesses. That is not at all the model. The model is a long-range, let's grow our own model. So when people say, well, how many businesses did you go recruit?
Right.
That's not what we're doing. And we're not trying to replace, not that those don't, that doesn't happen in each of the municipalities or areas, but that isn't the focus of Thrive. So it's a marathon, not a sprint, Brian. It's not something where it's going to be, how many businesses did you bring here last week? It's going to be, let's look at what kind of market share or what portion of our economy biotech is becoming. Mm-hmm. Let's look at how agriculture is growing. So the metrics that we'll use will be sector specific based on the strategies.
You know, and I think I would just echo that as well, and I think there's an initial focus on really bottom-up growth. I mean, taking the assets that we have here and seeing what we can do with them rather than trying to recruit businesses in externally. It's not that we wouldn't be involved in that at some point in time or given the right circumstances, but our initial focus is looking at the assets we have here and trying to leverage those and making the most out of them in the belief that we have a wonderful asset grouping here and with the right amount of encouragement, we can grow it better than we have.
One of the things we didn't mention at all in the discussion was workforce development. You talked about that low unemployment rate. That's good news, and it has its flip side, because this state's facing a demographic labor shortage. And one of the things that we're doing very closely is working with the Workforce Development Board in this region with Pat Schramm, who actually staffs one of our board committees. So that we're working very closely, and they got a $5 million federal grant for workforce development, which is very closely aligned with what Thrive is doing. And again, it's not Thrive doing each of these pieces, but working with other organizations to align and focus.
And in layman's terms, workforce development is making sure that there are workers for the jobs.
So that people, whether they are low-skilled workers or mid-skilled workers or high-skilled workers, can enter at any point and get the skills that they need to move along the ladder. So that in the same way that we want to grow our own businesses, we also want to grow our own workforce.
Are businesses now having a hard time finding workers?
Well, you can't spend a whole lot of time talking to business people without either workforce issues coming up, you know, or cost of health care. Those are the two things that tend to emerge if you sit and have a cup of coffee.
I think the answer to that kind of depends upon the sector as well.
That's very good.
In healthcare, they are having, I mean, certain aspects, you know, nursing and post-acute care areas, they're having a very hard time staffing some of those jobs. You know, some other areas, not so much. In biotech, we feel fortunate to be here in that we have the university, which obviously puts PhD and master's degree level people, as well as bachelor's degree level people, into the workforce, and Edgewood, which also contributes to that, and then MATC, which puts technical level people into the biotech workforce. So we feel very fortunate in the biotech area to be here, but other sectors are having to say, gee, we need some more people.
Anecdotally, is it the case that the management level in the biotech area is a bit challenging?
Yeah, probably that's a good point. I mean, probably marketing and sales and some of the senior management positions, it is a little bit challenging in biotech as well.
So you have to find people like yourself who experienced this area and liked it and then maybe went off and did other things.
Yeah, came back. Yeah. And actually, I am a good example because I really did not have a biotech background. I had a fairly broad-based technical background at a senior management level, but this is really my first biotech project. Maybe in another area I wouldn't have had this opportunity because there would have been more experienced people to bring to bear.
I would think, I mean, I've heard that before, that higher level management people are leery of coming here, but I mean, it's a pretty attractive area. I guess it's not New York or Palo Alto, but if it's attractive to us, sometimes I don't understand why they wouldn't want to come in. Maybe startups are riskier or something like that.
Yeah. You know, I came here from San Francisco in the early 80s and really had thought I was sent to Siberia. Well, you know, I thought this was going to be 2 years and I'm out of here. And here I am, you know, not only here for a long period of time, longer than any place I've been in my life, but back and settled into where I'm certain this will be, you know, where I finish things up. And so it historically has had a reputation of being maybe a hard place to recruit to, but once you get people here, they want to stay. And there's some of that that's still true.
Do you think that also critical mass is a part of it? If somebody comes for a specific job, if there are enough in the cluster, in that sector or cluster, that if that job doesn't work out, that they can find another one there, you know, that it isn't, I come here, if this doesn't work out, okay, now I bought a home, I've moved my children, you know. If there are opportunities, and I think that's one of the things that you really try to do with a sector is get that critical mass.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If there's someplace else to go other than just the one position that you're coming to, then that makes things look much easier.
Tom Still has said that there is a critical mass, or that we've sort of hit that. Mm. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, I think so. By sector, I think when you look at medical devices, biotech, maybe a little bit in the IT area, we have other sectors, maybe not as much, but and I think again, maybe an example that there's a willingness across kind of high technology in general to kind of allow people to migrate across technologies, and that certainly helps. So. If I had to look at how many more projects I could potentially do in biofuels in this town, there probably wouldn't be very many. But I think that you know, if you define the technology, or if you define the sector as high tech, then it opens up a lot of other possibilities.
Clearly, that creative energy that comes with having a number of folks from the same sector, I think, exists here. And that's what Marshall Lindsay Stone and Briggs actually came up with as a brand promise, a region of innovative and creative energy.
Okay. I thank you much.
Well, thank you, Brian. Hope you do.
Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.